This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by Choco Perfection, the only sugar-free chocolate sweetened from chicory root fiber. It doesn't raise blood sugar levels, and it supports the growth of beneficial probiotic flora. Choco Perfection supports weight loss as part of a low-carb eating program. Plus, it has all the beneficial antioxidants of chocolate. And it tastes great, like a really good chocolate bar. Just in time for Valentine's Day, you can get free 3-day shipping. To order, go to ChocoPerfection.com. That's ChocoPerfection.com or call 800-332-1773. That's 800-332-1773 for Choco Perfection. Welcome to the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and once again, it is time for our weekly session, our Q&A with Layla. It's an opportunity for you to pose your questions. You can send them to radioprogram@AOL.com, and we will endeavor to answer them. Layla Mutin, for those of you who are unfamiliar with Q&A with Layla, although we have many fans, many regulars, Layla is Hoffman Center nutritionist. She's a registered dietitian, and she's also earned an advanced degree in the field of nutrition, a master's degree. How you doing, Layla?
Okay, Dr. Hoffman, how are you doing?
Good. So, what I would like to do before we get into questions, I would like to take an opportunity to, people take MCATs and they take test preparation courses and they, you know, get set for college board exams. And I want to do like a little question preparation course, like a mini course, so that people can formulate their questions in such a way that we're likely to answer them. So I'll just give you an example anonymously of a question that we can't really answer. Hi, Dr. Hoffman and Layla, and we get a bunch of medical data. My husband's homocysteine is this, his hemoglobin A1C is this, his DHEA is this, his HDL is this, his LDL is this, his triglycerides are this. I was alarmed when I saw this, and I bought this supplement, that supplement, and the other. And is there anything else you could recommend? And so, you know, on the face of it, this is a pretty sensible question. I mean, the person has some concerns. She's trying to help her husband with supplementation.
Sounds like a consult to me.
It sounds like what we do on a daily basis, one-on-one with patients. That takes time, and we interview patients, and we go through the medical history. And so if you send us a question that says, well, these are my lab results, this is my health predicament, and it goes on. The one thing I'll say about this question is there's brevity to this, at least. And we do get questions sometimes that go on for a page or two, and we're asked to unravel a medical enigma. It doesn't really lend itself to a radio program format or a podcast format. And plus, it's kind of irresponsible for us to weigh in a telemedicine kind of fashion on a complex medical problem.
Mm-hmm.
So we would prefer if your questions relate to, do you think this tell us about this supplement, or give us a general idea of how you might approach such and such a condition. We could talk about that, although that comes close sometimes to a medical consult. We hate to disappoint you, but you know, we've got to keep it real here on Q&A with Layla.
Yeah.
Incidentally, we do have a practice. Layla sees patients independently, also in conjunction with me. So there's two entry points of the Hoffman Center. You can see me and Layla. If you just are desirous of a nutritional consultation and there's not a very, very complex medical dimension to your problem, or if you have an outside doctor and you want to stay with your doctor, if you like your doctor, you can keep your doctor and you can see Layla, to paraphrase our eminent president.
Right.
The POTUS.
Yes, the POTUS.
If you like your doctor, you can keep your doctor and you can opt for Layla as a nutritionist. Okay, so with that being said,
yes,
that completes our tutorial on how to ask a question Q&A with Layla.
And, you know, here's a really good example of the types of questions that we like.
Good.
And the subject is about non-allergic rhinitis and asthma. Hi, Dr. Hoffman and Layla. Would you kindly discuss non-allergic rhinitis and asthma and possible remedies? I seem to have the same symptoms during the winter that I usually experience during late summer, early fall, when various plants are in bloom. Cold weather tends to trigger the allergic rhinitis, which leads to asthma.
Okay.
The symptoms don't seem to be due to an overreaction to various allergens. Thank you, Michael.
Okay, so, you know, two elements to this. We in the field of complementary alternative medicine, we extend the parameters of allergy, like opening up a lens, a little larger than conventional allergists. I think conventional allergists are a little bit stingy about assigning allergy to these phenomena. In other words, they'll say, well, look, for it to be truly allergic, it has to be seasonal. It has to be verified by a positive skin test or a positive blood test called an IgE, and then we can accord it the label allergic. What we believe in complementary alternative medicine is that food allergies may be more pervasive than is thought. So you may not have an anaphylactic reaction to drinking milk, where you immediately, you know, wheeze and turn blue and your throat closes, but you may have chronic congestion from it.
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
So that's number one. Number two, there's new theories that people may be allergic to the flora that inhabit their respiratory tract. In other words, the bacteria that, you know, if I were to pick my nose and then offer to shake your hand, Layla, you'd probably recoil in horror, right? Because the nose is not sterile. There are germs in your nose. And the germs that you carry in your nose, just like the germs in your intestine, you can either have a nice accommodation with them and have a happy coexistence and interaction, or you can have an autoimmune or an allergic response to bad bacteria or fungus that's in your gut or in your nasal passages. And that creates not quite an allergic reaction, but it's an exuberant immune system response. So we often recommend that patients take clear nasal spray to break up the biofilms that harbor these organisms.
Yeah.
Or utilize a product called Sinatrol, which is it's a herbal product that's a natural antimicrobial with things that reduce inflammation.
We like Dehist.
Dehist. You know, these are things. Well, these are things that actually will counteract that. So there's a bacterial theory. The other theory, I mean, and I do believe there is such a thing as reaction to cold. I mean, I experience it for sure. I do two things that really mess up my nasal passages in the winter. Number one, I swim in chlorine. I wish I could find a pool that just ozonated, but I swim in chlorine, I swim a lot, and I get water up my nose. And then I go out in a very cold weather, and my nose freezes. Now, if any of you have a dog, you know that when your dog is sick, they have a dry nose. And a healthy dog has a moist nose that's producing mucus. And so it's actually a sign of you're protecting your nasal passages when you produce mucus. And you tend to overproduce mucus when you get exposed to cold. So
you don't even feel your nose running.
Oh, it's good to carry tissue in the winter, which, you know, I'm guilty of sometimes not doing. So.
A little icicle at the tip of the nose.
Right. Sometimes yes, sometimes snot. Okay, but you know, anyway. So that you get the picture. I don't want to get too graphic about it, but it's a response to a physical stimulus, not an allergic stimulus. Some people have that on more of a hair trigger, so they're big mucus producers. The other thing is, we don't really appreciate this, but we're breathing a lot of crap all the time. I mean, do you smoke? No, I don't. Yeah, but you live in New York City.
And look in the rays of the sun.
Yeah.
The particulate that's flying around.
Well, look what's
around
our windows. Look what's on our windowsills here, you know, as we sit in our office at the Hoffman Center. And I don't want to disparage the cleaning lady, but, you know, after a couple of days, you know, you run your finger across there with, like, you know, when we do the inspection, I put on a white glove when I do the inspection. I'm like, Downton Abbey. You know, I want to see if the help is doing a good job. And you can see that there's grime and dirt on the surfaces, and that's what we breathe. Our noses are filters, and that's an irritant.
Right.
So some of that may be due to chemical intolerance. And, you know, so we don't appreciate the degree to which we might be intolerant. Some conventional allergists are attuned to this, but some people have problems in their home. They may have mold in their duct system, or there may have been a flood where behind the sheetrock, were to pull the sheetrock out, there's a lot of this gunk growing inside their the framing of their wall. And that might be in the air that they breathe. So sometimes we do a home checkup where we will get people to This is an outfit called myhealthyhome.info is the website. And they give us these kits, which people use in their homes to gather air samples to see if there's
like
chemicals.
Mold plates and
mold
things.
Mold plates. Actually, it's not even a plate. It has like a little propeller which sucks in the air. And that goes to a sample plate inside. It's a little sophisticated sampler.
Wow.
And then you send it to the lab. It's analyzed to see if there's a high mold count. And it could be outdoor contamination or it could be indoor contamination.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there's a multitude of factors that govern this. And, you know, allergists, I think for the sake of simplicity, they'll say, you're not allergic to anything, but go ahead, take an antihistamine. That's the end all and be all.
Yeah.
Now, I'd say fine. Antihistamines are mild drugs. But Layla, you're aware that an article came out this week which states that ordinary antihistamines can dramatically increase one's risk of dementia.
Oh, very scary.
Now, for a robust, healthy person, taking an antihistamine here and there is not going to make them get Alzheimer's disease.
Right.
But for an elderly person or a person maybe whose health is not that...
who are living on Claritin and Allegra and Zyrtec all year long.
Day in, day out. And it actually may cloud their mental functioning and push them over the edge towards cognitive decline. And... you know, and that's not good. These are not innocuous medications, even though they're so-called non-sedating now. The old-fashioned antihistamines would knock you out, put you to sleep, like Benadryl.
Mm-hmm.
No good. That's why they're actually an ingredient in many of the PM drugs. You know,
right.
There's Tylenol PM and there's Excedrin PM.
Who doesn't get a good night's sleep with Benadryl?
Well,
I remember having to do that
in
my early 20s when I was very allergic, but...
Yeah, it's like, and you get a good day's sleep if you take it during the day.
Can't take it during the day.
Yeah, I would be gonzo. So, all right, so that's, we're tackling that question.
Yeah.
Good question, thank you.
Okay, the next question is from Judy from Minnesota. Dr. Hoffman and Layla, I'm 58 years old and have pelvic organ prolapses, bladder, uterus, rectocele, rectal prolapse, and sigmoid seal. Am I saying... correctly?
Yeah.
Or is it Seeley? Sigmoid Seeley.
Seeley. Drop letter, yeah.
I have severe constipation, so I have to take Miralax daily, sometimes twice a day, around 800 milligrams of magnesium citrate. I belong to a closed group on Facebook called POP, and most of the women there have to take Miralax magnesium.
What's the question?
The question is there any long-term consequence of using Miralax?
Here's the thing. This is a problem that's not amenable to ordinary things for constipation, because it's a structural problem. It's the muscles of defecation are impaired in this case.
Yeah.
So, you know...
She doesn't do well with fiber for this reason either.
No, fiber would just fill you up. So, you know, in the future, I mean, what's going to happen is they've got to come up with better ways to revive these muscles. And I think that in the future they will actually have pacemakers for the rectal muscles and the intestinal muscles that will move things along.
You know, I think Kegel exercises are helpful, not just for vaginal muscles,
sure,
but rectal.
Oh,
it's
absolutely.
The same
and in fact,
area.
I actually have a request going to an outfit that does that type of testing with an app that you can use on your iPhone. You know,
wow,
it's amazing. You can do Kegels, and your iPhone will tell you if you're doing them correctly. So there's physical therapy techniques that help restore the muscular integrity down there. But
these
you know,
are muscles too, is my point.
Well, yeah,
you know, it's
yeah. But ultimately, it's not a you know, we could give like magnesium, we could give all the natural things that it's more about the motility.
Right.
That is impaired in that area.
And I think the active ingredient in Miralax is propylene glycol.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Which makes it a stool softener in that
right.
regard, or causes the absorption.
What worries me a little bit about that is that that's an ingredient in antifreeze.
I think that's ethylene glycol.
Yeah, I'm sorry, you're correct.
Same family, though.
You're correct. And I think that there is...
Or methylene.
These are sometimes conflated.
Mm-hmm.
And so obviously... You know, you drink antifreeze, and this is
You'll
actually
die.
A common cause of pet death, is it tastes sweet, and animals get into it, and they die. Look, I'm not saying that there's an equivalence there. I think that it's an inert thing. It helps act as sort of an intestinal lubricant. But, you know, this is a problem where it's the prospects are limited for using oral laxatives.
I'll give you a little anecdote. I had a patient a couple of years ago, an elderly woman, chronically constipated. We talked about the Kegel exercises because her rectum was kind of prolapsed. She had to, excuse me, do a manual to get the stool out. She started doing Kegels, and she started to have better bowel movements.
Okay.
Instead of having to use that kind of an assist.
And that's good because you think she's so far down. But let's go back to, like, ordinary constipation. What works for the vast majority of my patients, our patients, two things. Magnesium citrate and... called Flowey.
Flowey,
P-H-L-O-E. Yeah. So you can talk about that. What
Flowey is a prebiotic, and prebiotics...
Spelled P-H-L-O-E.
Yeah.
Kind of a weird
Some people pronounce it flow. That may be more correct, but I'm not sure. But we call it Flowey because that's what we started calling it, and that's what we call it now. It's a prebiotic.
That's our story, and we're sticking to it.
Yeah. It feeds the beneficial bacteria in the intestines that can promote bowel regularity. Its main ingredient is kiwi extract. And if you notice, if you eat a couple of kiwi a day, that can help you too, if you can find kiwi in season.
Right. And it comes from New Zealand, and there's a little story behind it, is that for a while it was available in the United States, and then the manufacturer of it decided to stop importing it. And we said, sorry, we can't get it anymore. Our patients went nuts. Mm-hmm. Our patients who said this has been a life-changing experience. So we are doing with this something that we never do. We are actually working directly with the manufacturers of this product in New Zealand to have it shipped and going through customs at great, you know, with great care and some additional expense to get it for our patients. It's almost like on a compassionate protocol to make it available for them because it's been so effective at turning their chronic lifetime constipation around.
Yeah.
It's remarkable because it's not something that causes explosive diarrhea or dependency.
It's not like a laxative feeling where you don't know when it's going to happen and it's always urgent.
Right. So Flowey works for a lot of patients. And then there's this magnesium thing, but tell us how you tell patients to use magnesium.
Magnesium citrate. I say everybody finds their own happy dose of magnesium citrate. You could take it during the day
You titrate your citrate.
Exactly.
Right. Right.
I mean, just as a maintenance dose, we might start with one twice daily. We can increase it to two twice daily, two three times a day, three times a day. Everybody finds their happy dose.
So what about, people will say, but what happens if I get too much magnesium? Can you overdose on magnesium?
Yeah, well, the citrate form, because it's so not bioavailable, if you're getting diarrhea or your stool is too soft or your bowel movements
are
too
loose... It's going out.
It's
running through you.
So just cut back on your dose of magnesium and you'll find that middle point.
With one exception is that we would caution patients who have renal failure.
Yes,
they
kidney
have a
disease.
High creatinine above 2 or 2.5. Those people might overaccumulate magnesium, but for the vast majority of people, it's virtually impossible to overdose on magnesium because your body will reject it, it'll run through you.
Yeah.
And that's one of the problems with absorption of magnesium. When we want to build up high levels of magnesium in patients because they're magnesium deficient, magnesium citrate is not that desirable.
So
we use the jigsaw magnesium.
Which is magnesium malate.
We have the new protozorb magnesium, which is the brain active one.
Right.
Magnesium 3-8.
3-8.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Which, you know, great for if anxiety occurs in the brain and magnesium deficiency is associated with anxiety, that's the type of magnesium you want to use, the protozorb, which I talked about in last week's newsletter. That is a new product, and the 3-8 is said to cross the blood-brain barrier better.
Americans are chronically low in magnesium.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Between stress, a junky diet, not getting enough sleep, all of the above, all of these deplete magnesium on a rather large scale, so most people don't realize. I would say 80% of our patients are low in magnesium when we test them. So we think it's more prevalent than people are aware.
Absolutely. All right. So this is a good inflection point at which we can pause because we divide these podcasts into two parts. When we return, give us a preview of questions we're going to tackle.
Atrial fibrillation.
Okay. Atrial fibrillation.
Yeah.
I have a feeling that's going to have something to do with magnesium.
Yeah.
When we return, part two of today's Q&A with Layla. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is Intelligent Medicine Podcast.